books over?
We sent them over, yeah. Okay. Did not receive them.
Say that again.
I personally did not bring them. Were they received?
Yeah, they were received. But so you're accounting for them? I don't have to sign for them or anything, or
No. He just was storing them with me.
Who?
Who left them? Chaitanya Chandra.
He's just storing them with you.
He was storing them with me, and then the arrangement that he made, that he informed me of, was that he gave my phone number to the people in Loy Bazaar who he distributed them to, or who he left them with wholesale or consignment or whatever, however that works. When they were sold, I would replenish them. I would be the person to take them down to the market when they ran out down there to keep refilling them.
Got any questions? It's not the same being here. It's like being living in a train station. Being in Vrindavan compared to Govardhan. It's too close to where things are happening. At least to sort of get away from writing. Anyway, anyone got other things? Go ahead.
I was just wondering, devotees around the world, they're using different methods to introduce Krishna consciousness, like yoga or vastu or different things. I just wondering what your opinion would be if someone was going to start something up in the West at this time. What would be a good way to do it? I mean, the old methods like book distribution, sankirtan, along with yoga and these more New Age approaches.
To introduce Krishna consciousness. I mean, Prabhupada introduced restaurants, which is something different. And it depends on the result. If I was to go somewhere, I wouldn't start with anything New Age, you know. If I was to go somewhere, I'd start with chanting Hare Krishna, distributing books, and distributing prasadam. And then I may add some things to that. But I wouldn't start with that. I wouldn't start with anything different. And all of them have, yoga has how many percentage women?
99.
So that's what yoga means, that means preaching to women.
No, I don't mind, the women are okay.
99%.
He's been doing it for years.
You're teaching too.
So unless someone can woo the men in by some kind of special method, then just... So that has that setback. I don't know how many people have got Krishna conscious by Vastu. I mean, at least they chant mantras, they read Bhagavad Gita, and there's a system because they come regularly. Anyway, ultimately, you judge a thing by result. If it works.
97%.
But the foundation has to be there, the temples have to be there, the deities have to be there, everything. Otherwise, what is it that we're introducing them to? If they don't get the real thing, then it's a whole different version. That's what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness isn't about yoga or anything. It's ultimately about, and it's not even about eating. It's about chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, worshipping deities and doing something to spread Krishna consciousness. So that's got to be, it's got to be there as something that people naturally become connected to. Otherwise, they never really quite understand what Krishna consciousness is. They may understand philosophy. It's like we have even the example of, often we make the point of congregation devotees. The congregation devotees, who never live in temples, never do any full-time service, their experience of Krishna consciousness. Why don't you give us some money?
Is empty.
Yes.
I'm offering the DM to fill it up.
Containers we got, lots of. So it's different. Their concept of Krishna consciousness is different. People who never lived in the temple, do they know what it means to get up before 4 o'clock in the morning? Generally not. So, you know, you're living in a different mode when you get up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. It's not the same. And people don't have the experience of, you know, do what you're told. Go wash the floor, go wash the pots, go out on Sankirtan, stand out in the rain. Brahmacharya Guru Kule Vasudanti, you're not going to do that on your own. So unless, again, you've had that experience in a temple, that's also Krishna consciousness, it doesn't give the same experience of what surrender is all about. That's what Krishna consciousness is ultimately about. It's not about philosophy. And it's not even just about chanting Hare Krishna. Because Bhagavad Gita Makoti, you can chant Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes. If you don't chant it in the right way, you just end up coming back in this material world forever. So, you know, there may be different ways of, so many ways of introducing people. Ultimately, people need to be introduced to pure devotional service, and they need to be introduced to the process of surrender. And you don't learn pure devotional service unless you have some practical way that you're surrendering. So all of those people, well, however they're coming in, ultimately they have to learn Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. They have to learn the process of surrender, and when they're surrendering, then they can start Krishna consciousness. Until then, it's quite abstract. So there's billions of people who know about God and Christ, but how many of them are really surrendered to God and Christ? So just the fact that they know about God and Christianity doesn't necessarily make for a world for Christian saints. So that people know about Krishna is good, and that they even chant Hare Krishna is good, but it's not going to make for pure devotees. What were you going to say then?
As I mentioned, that group is something totally different. Rupa Raghunath followed me up today and asked, does he think that you would like some asparagus from his organic garden? And I said, I'm sure you would, and I brought some up.
I'm eating asparagus. I thought that it was from there, but yeah, certainly.
It's in your fridge.
Huh?
It's in your fridge. I brought it over.
Oh, it's over. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I'm eating the asparagus every day.
Okay.
It's the best food there is.
Seems that when we first join, it's easier to surrender everything, seemingly. And then it seems that devotees kind of withdraw a lot of their surrender, and as they get older, it seems that they may be surrendering less than they were in the beginning.
I don't know, Larry. I mean, they're. There are certain things that become that can be drawbacks to surrendering. Certainly, when you're not directly under someone's authority, temple's authority, then are you directly putting into practice the day-to-day surrender? It's a little different. So Grihastha Ashram makes it difficult. If you end up becoming, I don't know, a temple president or a guru or a sannyasi, in other words, if you're a leader, then once again, you know, unless you're really feeling the surrender from on top, from Krishna, then again the tendency is less to surrender. So there are certain trappings of Krishna consciousness. Not just Krishna consciousness, but just of the life. So that's why devotees should, you know, aside from their regular practices, there should be some real service that's directed by someone.
Question,
but the idea should be is that everyone's surrendering more, not less. But the idea is that as you become mature, that you should be ensuring that your own surrender, you should be feeling the need to do those things by which you're obliged to surrender. And if someone feels that they're not, then they should put themselves in a situation where someone else will make them surrender.
Do you mean just the day-to-day things that we do, we should be doing anyway, or do you mean making steps, greater steps forward than perhaps we can push ourselves?
I don't know. I mean, day-to-day things we do anyway.
Yeah.
We do them whether we're Krishna conscious or not. In other words, cooking, eating, cleaning, you got to do it anyway. So unless you're very advanced, by themselves they don't make you Krishna conscious, or they're not necessarily acts of surrender. So there has to be some, you know, what are the